It was on March 13th, 2020, 4 years ago today, that the Trump administration declared a nationwide emergency and issued travel bans on non-U.S. citizens that were coming from 26 European countries due to COVID-19. 2 days later, the states would begin to implement shutdowns, with the New York City public school system closing completely, which was the largest school system in the United States with over 1 million students. Ohio had restaurants and bars closing. By the very next day, the CDC launched the Clarabot, which was a COVID-19 symptom checker on its website. The rollout was in complete control. There were individuals during that time that were very helpful. There were also individuals that were not so helpful. At the local level, our local school boards, as well as our local government, there were individuals that understood liberty as well as protection of each other while respecting your individual rights. One of those people I would like to acknowledge at the top of the show before the music ever rolls. She passed away on Sunday. She was a board member of the school district of which I work. Her name was Ashley Sabo. Ashley was a caring, compassionate, kind-hearted, and critical thinker in the face of COVID-19 and the pandemic declaration. When it came to reopening schools, she was one of the voices that was asking for common sense measures in order to get the schools reopened, while many of the board members were scared. They did not want to reopen the classrooms. They did not want to get us off of Zoom. I remember my many conversations that I had with Ashley, talking about measures that would help everybody feel better about their return, trying to point out the individuals that had already had COVID, or talking about the ability at that point in time for those that felt that they were at the highest risk to not feel pressured to come back in, and what the school district could do about that. Ashley listened. She did not have or want to force a political agenda upon anyone. When she would run again in 2022, she was one of the few more, I don't even want to call her a conservative, but she was a conservative leaning voice. And when she ran in 2022 for re-election, the union never endorsed her. Instead, they endorsed a retired public school teacher. During the election, it was ugly. There were people that were stealing her signs, taking them away. This is a school board that this was happening at. One of the candidates was using the official school district logos as if he was already being told that he was the next candidate, as if he was endorsed already by the school district. So one side played dirty, but Ashley did not. They took her signs down, and others got endorsements, and other people just ignored Ashley, despite the fact that she served that board extremely well. So thinking in retrospective about the last 4 years, I think about the people like Ashley, those who selflessly served, those who were not looking for ways to keep you from doing and living your life, but rather, how can you safely continue to do what you love and put the children first and families? How can you be respectful of people that might have health conditions, such as Ashley herself, and at the same time, be fully reopened and off Zoom? This is the conversation that Ashley and I were able to have, as well as many others, over the years that she served. Hearing that she's no longer with us, she leaves a 14-year-old and 11-year-old behind. It touches me because I know she loved her children so much. In fact, when she lost, she said she felt that it would be a good thing because while she was upset the day that she lost, it would be a good time for her to spend time with her family and with her husband. We forget oftentimes that the people that serve on these local boards, the people that serve in local government, not all of them are trying to get rich off of power. There are good people. The majority of people don't care about the labels of Democrats or Republicans. They're simply people that went to try to make a difference, to try to make the world a little bit better. And I think about the people that might have criticized Ashley for having a little bit more conservative values than some of the liberals that sat on the board. And I wonder if it's fair now, as we look back on Ashley, do we understand that the compassion that she showed was a model for us to toss away the political labels, to realize at the end of the day, what each of our role and responsibility is in this country is to leave this United States, this earth, this planet, better for our sons and our daughters, making sure that we work tirelessly for what we want to see. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
You heard at the top of the show, give an honor to a fallen friend, somebody who I found out passed away. Now, I had not spoken with Ashley since May 13th, 2022. It had been a year and a half, almost 2 years since we last spoke. But I've been reflecting a lot on the pandemic 4 years ago, because it's popping up on my memories. In fact, on my Patreon page, which you can go to patreon.com/AmericaEmboldened, I posted some thoughts that were pretty harsh about what happened in the last 4 years. And I wanted to point out the tyrants. Now, Ashley was not a tyrant at all. She was somebody who really respected other people's individual rights, didn't want to take that away from everybody, and didn't use the health crisis that was going on to trample liberty. And for that, I appreciated her, and for so many other reasons. She just was a kind individual that really put my students and teachers and parents first within education over whatever might have been the buzzworthy thing to be in on education at that moment in time. And so for that, I was grateful. I was thinking of these individuals that have started off stating that people were spreading misinformation or disinformation or malinformation in the wake of 2020 and those shutdowns. I started outlining that at the top of the show for you a little bit. And as I was going through this, I realized that there's been so many things that have flip-flopped. Do you remember when, if you had stated back in 2020, 2021, 2022, that the flu and COVID were going to have to be treated the same exact way, people flipped out at you. How irresponsible is that? And now we know that there's new guidelines for COVID. Just this past week that came out that now at this point in time, respiratory viruses, you're going to treat COVID like the flu. All right. This is mind-boggling considering there were huge studies on the CDC and stories written back in recently as 2022. And now here in 2024, they're telling you what the common sense person has been telling you the entire time. You're going to treat COVID exactly as you treat the flu. You're going to protect yourself the best that you can. If you get sick, you can try to stay away from others so you don't give others the flu or COVID. And you're going to let it run its course while getting your vitamin D and your zinc up and getting your rest and pumping lots of fluids and paying attention to things like your fluids, making sure that you're not getting dehydrated. And so all was very important with that. So yeah, the CDC has updated and simplified the entire response plan now to COVID. They shortened the isolation at this point in time, ended the guidance on masking and testing in these new 2024s. And so they've completely dropped the 5-day COVID isolation guidelines at this point in time. Are we going to apologize to people that pointed this out 4 years ago? Or are we just going to be like, oh, they got lucky. How'd they know? Are we going to acknowledge now that RSV and influenza, you're going to take the same exact type of followings that you would if you got COVID with those? You're going to try to limit the amount of other people that can be exposed? I mean, I've been told at corporate right now, corporate people at corporate jobs are being told that if they have COVID, to get their asses into the office, and they will find them a place where there's no other employees sitting to make sure they can be in the office to work. I mean, it's comical to think where we were 4 years ago, and now bosses and HR offices are feeling that way. There's part of me that actually wants to out all of those businesses when I hear these things, but I keep my mouth shut because, you know, I'm sure that they meant nothing but the best. They just want to make sure that those buildings that they spent all that money, electricity and stuff, has asses in the seats. I get that. Also, just like before where everybody was getting tested for the first time that you're getting sick, you know, you don't need to go test now. If you want to, you can. It can be considered, what they say, an additional prevention strategy if you so choose. But they now don't believe that you really even need to go get tested. That if you have the symptoms of it, then just try to get yourself away from other people and have at it. The tyrants. I will never forget the tyrants. And I talked about this on the Patreon. I'll never forget the people who wanted others to lose their jobs. I'll never forget the people that were publicly advocating that they have to, that they should go home to home and force injections in the people's arms. This was a real conversation with people back in 2020, 2021. And I'll never forget that. And I hope that you don't either. All right. I want to move forward because I don't like to live in that side of thinking for too long. I talked last month about how the Biden administration has a major problem on their hands. It's inflation. And no, it's not inflation from the standpoint of where we were just about 6 months ago, where Biden was saying, hey, you know, inflation is slowing. No, now we have the consumer price index. If you've been watching where things are going, that we have consumer prices rising 0.4% just in February. Here we are, March 13th, and they're now up another 3.2% from a year ago. This is a problem. See, the Biden administration has tried to say that, you know, they've done the quantitative easing. They got the Federal Reserve trying to hold the rates where they're at. And as a result, everything was cooling and people were getting better purchasing power when they go out and they try to make their groceries and their bills and everything else. But the Bureau of Labor Statistics at this point in time is saying, nope, the consumer price index at this point in time is now up. And the monthly gain is in line with their expectations, but the annual rate is ahead of the 3.1 forecast at 3.8%. So food and energy prices are in. You got the core CPI as well in there. Both were 1/10 of a percentage point higher than forecast. I believe that this election, people are not going to vote about their morals. They're not going to vote about whether or not they believe that Joe Biden is the kinder grandpa for this country. They're going to vote with their wallets. Gasoline has jumped 3.8% on the month, and rent has also risen 0.4%. The increases now in energy and shelter have 60% of the total gain of all cost. Inflation is continuing to move above 3%, and we have pricing for housing on the rise for rents, and housing costs are continuing to not budge. People cannot afford to get into a better situation. And because of these reports, the Federal Reserve is not going to be lowering rates anytime soon. Your cost of travel is going up. Airline fares saw a 3.6% increase. Clothing saw a 0.6%. And used vehicles are still rising at 0.5%. Medical services are only up. Actually, they decreased. That's the only thing that's decreased, medical services. And isn't that the thing that everybody says, oh, medical, that's the thing we got a problem with in this country? It's down 0.1%. And it's showing right now that Americans do not have confidence in the economy. Now, if that is Joe Biden's running point, that the accomplishment of his administration is the fact that he has cut inflation, stabled the market, raised 15 million jobs, well, Joe Biden's got a major problem when it starts coming down to comparing the records. If you look at Donald Trump, over the course of the 3.5 years, 3 years really, about 3 years and a month, of being president before the pandemic, you will see a nation that was in a sound financial state. Now, you can say that part of that is from Barack Obama, and you would be correct as well. You can also state that part of the reason why we're in the situation we're in now is because Donald Trump started printing money. But you would be ignoring the fact that Joe Biden continued that policy and has opened up our purse and our wallet to give money to anybody who goes, I'm upset with that country, can I please have a couple billion dollars? So now we have gas prices surging, inflation back higher and higher, and this, I believe, is going to be another feather in Trump's cap as things continue to move forward. Now, Joe Biden is going to be in a little bit of a spotlight that I believe will continue to push him further and further from re-election. Why? Because the House panel had a congressional hearing on the Biden classified documents, and this is going to end up being a campaign battle at this point in time. And the reason is because special counsel Robert Hur ended up testifying for 4 hours and stood steadfast in saying that Joe Biden's mental competence and his age would mean that no jury could find sufficient evidence to have a case against him because they could not knowingly say he knew that he had any of these documents because his mental acuity is just not there. Biden went through a 2-day interview with this special investigator, Mr. Hur. And over the course of that 2 days, here's some of the highlights that came out. All right. And we've already had a chance to read this, but during the testimony that's going on right now, the Democrats wanted to paint Joe Biden as being exonerated that he did nothing wrong. And I believe it was Jaya Powell, Pramila from Washington, she's a Democrat, said that the report was an exoneration. And her said, I need to go back and make sure that I take note of a word that you used, exoneration. That is not a word that appears in the report. That's not part of my task as a prosecutor. To which Pramila responded, you exonerated him. And he got a little testy back, said, we did not exonerate him. That word does not appear in the report. And so over the course of this testimony, we find that Biden had some issues. He says, when did I announce for president? In 2019? He was curious about this. He was having trouble. He was asking for help remembering important dates. And they said his lawyers would frequently step in order to assist the president with his answers. Then if it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president? In 2009, am I still vice president? Trump gets elected in November 2017, he asked, before someone noted that it was actually November 2016. And then twice on the same day, Biden couldn't figure out the words for fax machine. Now, you know, I will forgive Joe Biden for that because who uses a fax machine in 2024? That's something I might even forget. I might sit there and go, what was that thing called that we used to scan things into? And it would go, do, psh, 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 AOL, no, fax machine. He says in it when he goes, you see where there's a printer and there's a, what do they call it? The machine that, and so the White House counsel Ed Siskel says fax machine, both times that Biden couldn't remember the words. And then he also disputed her statement afterwards, saying that he didn't remember when his son, Bo Biden, died. If you remember, Joe Biden came out there angrily after this report was released about a month ago and said, I would never forget that. And I think he said, when I was asked this question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business. Well, guess what? Biden himself was the one that brought up Beau Biden. It was not the special prosecutor, her. And he did have trouble recalling that Beau died in 2015 until his lawyer, Rachel Cotton, helped him out in it. So when he was talking about the years 2017 and 2018, Biden said, remember, in this time frame, my son is either been deployed or is dying, and adds, and so what was happening, though? What month did Beau die in? Oh, God, May 30, before Cotton offered. It was in 2015. Now, this interview, like I said, was over the course of 2 days. During that time, Democrats would like you to remind you that he was dealing with Israel October 8th and 9th and what had just happened. So there could have been stress on him. And so they believe that they feel that HRS report was partisan. The Biden team has also said that he cherry-picked and exaggerated his mental lapses. Well, now under oath, it seems like Robert Hur is saying, nope, this is exactly what I found and exactly why. No, we didn't exonerate him, but we didn't feel we could bring charges against him either. Not good for the president's future in running for re-election. But who's he going to be running against? Well, it looks at this point, it's definitely Donald Trump. Running mate of Donald Trump, we don't know. But I was shocked to find out that RFK Jr. listed two individuals particularly that he is considering as his running mate. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. apparently has had multiple conversations with the NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I've made a comment on my X page that this might be the stupidest and most idiotic thing I think I've heard from a candidate that was viable. But to go to an NFL player that has zero political experience whatsoever. The feather in Aaron Rodgers' cap is his vaccine stance during 2020. That's his only feather that I can imagine. By all intents and purposes, every story I've ever heard about the gentleman says that he wasn't a good partner in relationships, that he had a horrible relationship with his parents, and that his family themselves really struggled with him and his personality. Yes, Aaron Rodgers will elevate RFK Jr. and get votes of people that likely shouldn't be able to pull a lever to begin with. That's stated. That's fine. Maybe people just ignore the facts. Where is this guy's political experience? Then maybe what you'd ask me is, well, where was Donald Trump's political experience when he was running for president for the 2016 election? I would remind you that Donald Trump had a ton of political experience in his involvement through New York City and land development and schmoozing with all the different individuals that were running the politics in the background in order to help his businesses out. Donald Trump also sharpened his teeth in business, writing books, coming up with ideas to make more and more money. He had figured out capitalism better than most people can figure out capitalism. And within all that, Donald Trump also found his way into the Obama saga with the birther movement, whether or not Barack Obama had been born as a citizen of the United States. So unlike Aaron Rodgers, Donald Trump had already been a public figure. In fact, years before, I believe it was on the Oprah Winfrey show, Donald Trump had even talked about he might run for president in the future. That was 30 years or so before he actually ran. And during that time, he said, the only way I'd do it is if I knew I was going to win. And she even was like, you know, who would you run under? Like, what type of party would you run under? And he was very dodgy about that because back then, Donald Trump was a Democrat. Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., this pick for Aaron Rodgers tells me that, yeah, you might get the popular vote. You might be going after some added votes there, but all you're going to do is hurt one side or the other. I actually think with this pick for Aaron Rodgers, if you're a Democrat, you celebrate because there's nobody that was voting for Joe Biden that is going to vote on an Aaron Rodgers ticket. But there are people that might be voting for Donald Trump that would go to an Aaron Rodgers, RF Kennedy Jr. ticket. Now, the other name that he had on there was Jesse the Body Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota. Now, I really do like Jesse Ventura. Jesse, at this point in time, though, I'm not even sure what his political party is. Last time I saw, he is in 2020, I believe, part of the Green Party. He's got libertarian principles. He ran as the Reform Party, if I remember correctly, as the Minnesota governor. He did a good job. He actually did a phenomenal job as governor. People enjoyed him. They liked him. He's got a megawatt personality that I think would be helpful to RFK Jr.'s campaign. That stated, he's also highly polarizing if you don't follow that libertarian reform type of speak. And so I think that that could be an interesting pick for RFK Jr. It could add a little bit of that star power that seems to win elections at this point in time. But I don't think that that is the choice either that would be a winning ticket. In fact, I think that if really, if RFK Jr. wanted to get a winning ticket, he should pair up with Senator Rand Paul. If he wants somebody who's actually more on the libertarian side that I think would excite voters towards his side, I think Rand Paul would be a very good counterbalance. I've heard Tulsi Gabbard tossed around as a name as well. Also, Jesse Ventura, I can already tell you, if he does go with him, sorry to backtrack here, but I almost forgot this part of it. I believe Jesse has worked for Russia Times for a good amount of time now. So just wait for that scandal for everybody to say, well, RFK Jr. and Jesse are shills for Russia. You know that that would be exactly where that would go. So I'm just curious, how would Aaron Rodgers, fresh off his blown Achilles with the New York Jets, I think it was like the first game, like the second play or third play of the game, how would he translate to politics? Does he have the same name recognition? Does he have the same people that would want to follow him through to the ballot box? I don't believe so. But RFK Jr. has a major problem right now. If your first two major people are an NFL quarterback who is polarizing and Jesse Ventura, who would have been a great vice presidential candidate fresh off 1998 when he ran for governor of Minnesota sometime around 2002, 2004, he would have been great then. Not so much now. We'll see exactly what's going to happen with all of this. But I'm following the RFK Jr. saga very carefully because I do believe he's going to be a major factor in this upcoming election. Now, Boeing airplanes, talk about something that's been a disaster story. Boeing is under scandal after scandal. In fact, there are certain flying websites now that have added a feature where you can book a flight by what type of plane will be flying. Because excluding the Boeing 787, their newer planes, has become so popular that it's become a feature that these websites are now adding in at a record pace. Now, a former Boeing employee raised some concerns as a whistleblower about the production standards. John Barnett was just found dead. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He reports. And just yesterday, he apparently, I'm not laughing, it's just the irony of what happens to people when they come out and they speak about the powerful, is not lost on me. He died from a self-inflicted wound, gunshot wound, I'm assuming is what that meant, but a self-inflicted wound, and police were investigating the death of him. Now, he was working as the quality manager on the 787 Dreamliner that I was just talking about. And he told the BBC that under pressure workers had been deliberately fitting substandard parts onto the aircraft on the production line. You know who else had this problem? DuPont. DuPont in 1985 through 1986 had their O-rings that were failing, and they knew about the problem. They knew that if it froze and they launched a shuttle sometime during that time, they could freeze, heat up, refreeze, and crack. And guess what? The O-rings caused the disaster known as the Challenger spacecraft flight. Now, you ever want to go down a really horrible rabbit hole of the Challenger? I spoke with somebody who had knowledge of what happened during that flight. And when they told me that the astronauts did not die in the explosion, that was one of the most horrifying things that my second grade 1986 self had trouble handling when I found this out when I was in my 20s. Learning that they were in their suits sitting in this, they were ejected, and judging from the oxygen, many of them hit the water, died from hitting the water, or hit the water and eventually ran out of oxygen and died. They weren't able to be rescued. That's something that I was told that just blew my mind. I never knew any of that. Anyway, I have seen that when you speak out about certain topics, that you endanger yourself. Now, the Andrew Tate saga and Tristan Tate has taken a turn. Now, they are two very outspoken individuals that you will not hear me on my show defend. That stated, I can't help but notice that after Romania doesn't have enough evidence, after holding them in a jail cell for almost half a year, they release them. Now the UK is bringing them up on charges that was basically a crowdsourced funding to get them back in and bring them to the UK for a sexual aggression case back in 2012, 2015. Look, if Tate, either of the Tates, had been exploiting women, raping them, human trafficking them, they should be in jail. But I can't help but notice that as these individuals speak out about the very things that they speak out about, they get targeted. That's what it seems like. Where were these charges before? Why now? Why in the way that they went about them? It's kind of like Russell Brand when England went after him as well, which that kind of has all crazily started the quiet down. You're not hearing anything about Russell Brand. But it makes me wonder, am I safe talking about some of the things that I talk about? Or should I shut my mouth? Maybe it's because my brain isn't functioning the way that it should, that I just don't care. And the food that we're eating, the ultra-processed foods that Joe Biden talked about during his speech, may not just be affecting our weight in the United States, but science says it's affecting our brains as well. So when we're eating chips and those cereals that Joe said isn't giving you as much, why are we concerned about that? This food is poison to us. They have addictive ingredients, and they're ultra-processed foods that cause disorders in our mental health and sleep problems as well. And so they say the science is still early. There's not a lot that they don't know, but they say not all ultra-processed foods are equal. Some might actually be good for you, but a diet high in ultra-processed foods has been linked to obesity, type 2 diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular disease. But researchers still are trying to figure out why. Researchers, I'll explain to you why. Food was meant to be natural. Food was meant to be as least unprocessed as possible. From farm to your plates, straight out of nature, into your mouth. It wasn't meant for us to grind it all up, throw 50 different chemicals in it so it lasts for the next 5 years, put it in a cardboard box in the midst of a little piece of plastic, heat it up, and then send it on out. That's not what food was supposed to be, but we had to make food nutritious. We wanted to make food so affordable for the average American. We wanted to make it convenient. You got to have that microwave generation, get that TV dinner put in, and then we have the FDA making sure it's safe food, except it's not really safe food. So we now have the study that shows that many ultra-processed food hits the brain rapidly when we eat them and has a strong effect on its reward system because of that addictive nature into it. And these are the same things when people have nicotine, alcohol, or other addictive drugs. This is according to the professor of psychology at the University of Michigan, who was a co-creator of this food addiction study that was put out there. And so we can also look at the Cell Metabolism Journal, which talked about high sugar foods, high fat, and ultra-processed foods, and showed MRI scans of brains that showed the neurotransmitter involved in motivation, the parts of the brain that created dopamine, the learning and experiencing rewards. They saw this was all changed from high sugar, high fat processed foods. Now, this should surprise none of my listeners, because I think that everybody is very intelligent, already knew this information. But maybe somebody needed to hear this and take better control of their health. So that's why I'm sharing it. I think that's all. I think I have like 10 other stories here that I could continue on with. But I think I'm already at like, I don't know, 38 minutes of your time at this point in time. I just want to be respectful of that. I got more coming up pretty soon. I did tell you guys I had Dr. Peter McCullough coming up this week. Dr. McCullough will be joining me soon, but he did have to reschedule for that show. And so I'll be getting him back on hopefully next week, trying to line up our schedules. He is a busy, busy man, but we will try to get him on America Emboldened for next week. And as I told you, I believe we are recording two shows, one where we're discussing a very important topic that I talked about, the World of Illusions, the Died Suddenly film, 2000 Mules. And then he's going to co-host with me as we interview a young lady who has been paralyzed. And her doctors tell her it was after her third booster. She had a myelitis, which has caused her to be paralyzed from the neck down. And in Canada, they offered compassionate treatment. They want to euthanize her. That makes sense. Sure. No, it makes absolutely no sense. So we're going to get that story out to you all very soon as well. Kayla Pollard will be on the show with me and Dr. McCullough co-hosting with me. So you're going to want to catch that when it comes up. We'll get that back and scheduled. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. I will be on Friday with Chris Michaels, my co-host, with a special, special show. We're going to have with us a great, great guest. If you heard last week, we had Gavin Wax joining us. Well, we're stepping it up now, and we'll be having John M. Pierce. Now, John M. Pierce, if you don't know who he's the chairman of the NCLU. He's a Harvard law grad and a great American patriot. And we're going to be talking January 6th and much, much more. So you're not going to want to miss Friday's show here on America Emboldened. All right, everybody, that is the end of the road. Hope I honored your time well. I'll hear from you and see you all very soon. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Be bold, America.